And welcome everybody that's watching on YouTube and on Salamandri.com. This is another episode of Let's Talk About Cars. You're with Alejandro and with Buddy. Buddy, hit it, please.
Hey, what's going on over here?
Oh, now it's official. It's official. I hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. And if not, guys, it's all about making yourself really push forward through those moments. So I know the hell we've been going through. So it's been a lot of fun. We went last week. We did so much. We haven't stopped. So I apologize if I look like I'm a little tired.
Dude, it's been busy, man. I'm like exhausted.
I can't even keep myself awake. So it's been, I'd say it's great.
Yeah, you didn't even have to coach T-ball yesterday.
I know. I don't understand how that happened. So just a little walk through everything that we've done. Last week, we went and filmed the beginning of our season four, which was number one, that Bugatti Veyron. And with that comes a little bit of a confession. And I just want to be candid with you guys and tell you how happy it makes me that I get to be back doing what I love doing the most, and that I was a fucking idiot for holding myself back for 2 years for not doing this before. And the reality of this is, and not a lot of people will understand this, and I understand, and I'm not here looking for your sympathy. It's just, this is just for those people that don't want to make the same mistake that I've made. This is for those people that are looking at their mistakes and doing it better, because even when you think you're doing better because your numbers are good, because the money's great, because whatever in life is throwing you mathematically that sounds good, you still have to fulfill what's inside here. And to me, the biggest problem was once I stopped doing the clothing line with those dudes that were my friends like 2 years ago, because I realized that they wanted more like the fame and they basically wanted all the attention of them and the money and all that stuff. They told me something that really hurt me in a fucked up way, which I thought it was stupid, but this is part of like what I want you guys to correct in your life. This is something that I did to myself, and this is something that no one put me in, so I can't blame anyone for it except myself. When they came in and told me, and they try to convince everyone in the group, like the guys that didn't have that much money compared to the guys that really had much money, that they basically said, you only are here where you are. And mind you, I had 300,000 followers at the time when the split happened. You only are here because of us and because we give you access to those cars. Mind you, I had already a Pagani Huayra. I had a 918. I had bought myself 70 or 80 Mercedes at the time. So
not counting how many Porsches you had.
Oh, that too, right? That too.
Yeah.
So it was not so much about what they said, but to me, it's more, it's always about being a fucking idiot, because that's what I am. There's no other way of describing it. And just going and being like, oh yeah, you think it's the cars? I'm going to fucking prove to you that it's not. Because before I made a YouTube channel that was just about phones.
Yeah.
And I was still number one when that came out. You know what I mean? Just with phones. I wasn't doing anything else. So when I did the cars and I was doing everything and I built myself up to that level and I brought these guys in, I'm not saying all of them, but some of them. When I brought these guys in, it's not like they were doing something that I didn't. All of the content that you've seen produced has been ours.
Mm-hmm.
All of the ideas for everything have been ours. And it shows right now because you guys can see two things. And at the same time, I stopped everything that I was doing. And I said, I'm going to prove to everyone, which I should have never done, but I keep doing this. And now I learned that this is my mistake that I keep making. When someone tells me something that's stupid and it's wrong, I try to go and prove them wrong. And sometimes, while proving them wrong, I'm willing to sacrifice whatever I've built before.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did. I just pressed auto self-destruct and that fucking shit exploded. Because I didn't do anything when I separated and I said, all right, I'm just going to leave you be. I'm just going to let you be and that's it. Mm-hmm. I never expected them to turn around and just go, we're going to fucking go full blast against him because he's not making us money and because he's not being our bitch.
Yeah.
And I should have just reacted then and just put a stop to it, but I knew that would have given him attention. And I shouldn't have cared at the time. But now I see how stupid I was and how pride, and my pride just fucking killed me, to be honest with you. And it stopped me from moving forward. It stopped me from getting like all these hypercars. And my friend Greg invited me a million times to Italy. Come
he
over.
He really has. And I've told you, I'm like, dude, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's
I know.
Do it.
Come over to Italy. Let's go hang out. Let's do what we always do here. And I just said no. And to all of the other people that kept inviting me everywhere, I just kept saying no. And I closed my world. And I thought, wow, I grew from 300,000 to almost 5 million YouTube between Spanish and English, from my 300,000 on Instagram to almost 2 million. My Facebook went from 0 to 3 million almost. Yeah. And I thought, paper-wise, I'm there. Like, I'm killing it. But there was still a huge void in here that I can't explain to anyone, and it's not so easy to understand. About doing what I was doing what I started, doing the stuff that no one else was doing online. As far as the car world went, I thought that we were innovators in mm-hmm. that space. And just pushed that, left it alone, and just decided to just retreat into my little cave. I don't want to meet anyone else, because if my friends are willing to screw me over for money, you can only imagine what other people are going to do that don't even know you,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I closed myself in this little cocoon, and it sucked. And just out of nowhere, the Senna fire really just reignited that passion, that fire. That fire. Good it pun. Really did.
Reignite
it really did.
Fire,
like a fucking good phoenix.
Good pun.
It really did. And when the Senna burned down for... I understand some people call me a pussy because whatever, and an idiot, and I know you guys know better than I do. But the reality is that really turned into something beautiful in my life.
Yeah.
It turned into, you're not living. What if you would have really died that day? Then what? You fucking stop doing yeah. what you love because of other idiots saying that you're not good enough? That no, it's why am I going to prove him wrong?
It's hard, dude, because you're like in a completely different scenario than the average person, because not only are you, you know, enjoying the successes of everything that, you know, you've done in your life, you know, you're enjoying the finer things in life, literally.
I'm trying.
But you're living it in a public way where you have millions of people chirping at you.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's positive or negative, they're still chirping at you, and you know,
I'm going to tell you the truth yeah. within that. And this is kind of a scary one to say, but it's true. It's true as fuck. When that happened and my audience turned on me, when I was the only one creating content, mm-hmm. when I was the one that created that brand, when I was the only, and it shows right now, there's yeah. no denying it. You can see it today and how it works yeah. compared to how Swipe works, right?
Yeah.
When I created all of that and people turn around and go, fuck you for suing that, which by the way, I never sued anyone. I just wanted them to shut the fuck up because I didn't understand why one of them was giving away my address, my yeah. home address everywhere, which I don't care about talking about right now because I'm moving. I'm done with this, with that place, just so that I can say this yeah. and also give my wife whatever she deserves too.
Absolutely.
Next, right? So at that point, when my audience turned on me and said, fuck you, how dare you be mad at someone giving away your address? How dare you being mad? And I never explained to you guys why, what happened. I just, because I didn't want to give him attention. I don't want to start internet beef.
Yeah.
But when people start coming at you left and right, and you can't even sell your car, which is completely yours, paid cash in, because someone is saying, no, dude, there's a lawsuit around this car that doesn't exist in every single shop because these yeah. dickwads were calling everyone saying that I was in a legal dispute for that car.
Yeah.
I just wanted to understand why and put a stop to that so that I could get like a good idea, because it didn't make any sense. I've made him so much money.
Yeah.
I walked away from it all. I left them with the money.
Mm-hmm.
And even then they're attacking me. They're shitting on me all day. They're telling everybody that I work with that I'm a piece of shit scum.
Yeah.
I never, never in my life had dealt with that, where someone just comes, shits completely on you, and then everyone that goes, I love you, goes, fuck you, yeah, absolutely, let me kick you while you're down, because yeah. I didn't do anything. Well,
look, first, real quick, there's a lot of people that are watching that have no idea what you're talking about.
I know,
and I don't think it's worth even going into.
No, it's just a life lesson here that we're teaching, because all of this shit, all of this shit made me go into a hole. Into a little box.
Yep.
And I didn't want to get out of my box. And again, I thought I was being successful because mm-hmm. the numbers showed up, because the money has showed up, because the access has showed up,
mm-hmm.
and because everyone keeps calling me and saying, come do this. And I just keep passing and passing and passing.
Yeah.
And I realized one day after the Senna thing that I'm telling you, that fire really... You got to go through the proper process so that you can cope with your injuries, whether they're physical, emotional, or mental. And in that case, it was a little of emotional and mental, right? Combined with on the fire thing. And when that happened, and I just wanted to heal. So I go through my process. I go through my steps. I talk to someone. On top of talking to someone, you start asking yourself questions and you write them down at night, and then you answer them. You look at them the next day and you look back and say, you know, that's not really what I want out of my life. How can I do it like in a better way? And you start really asking yourself what you really want out of life, and then noticing, dude, I could have fucking died, like, in a stupid, like, super lame scenario. And I would have just left it at that. There's no fucking way. I think what we did with Hyper 5, with Banging Gears, with the big Let's Talk About Cars, it was legendary, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
No other YouTube channel has ever squared off to do one of those.
But that's why people get so upset and butthurt is because,
but also
because
at the same
they
time.
Think that they deserve... They think that they deserve you putting up $100,000 per episode
to YouTube that makes me $300
to do that, and that's unfair.
And that's another thing. So you get all of the people being like, "Fuck you for not spending $100,000. Fuck you for being mad at all of that." So I just went into my box and I said, "All right." And with the English channel, I was done.
Yeah,
I was literally 2 fucking weeks away from being like, "All right, this is it. I'm good to go. There's no need for this anymore."
I'll be honest with you. I felt it.
Yeah.
I thought that there was any day you were going to say, I can't do it.
I'm not in, because I was enjoying so much. And that's another like kick that the Spanish channel threw me was it reignited my passion of like what I'm doing and sharing with everyone. Because everyone just came in and was like, dude, I'm totally on board with your right. Like
those dudes are so positive. Those dudes are so positive in the Salamundo community.
They injected me with that like vibe and that energy. And I felt fucking incredible. But every time I released a video in English, I had to deal. Every time I put my camera looking at me and I knew it was for the English channel, it fucking hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's no way of living. And when I realized that that camera was heavier just because I was going to speak in English rather than in Spanish, that's when it became a problem in my head. And I said, I don't want to do this anymore.
I mean, can we put it on the table right here? I mean, I want to put it on the table with
the
you.
Camera? Because,
no, not the table. I was not
like,
the
it's
camera.
Not that big.
No.
It's kind of like this size and it's not that heavy.
You know, you and I were super close to button heads several times because I wanted to drag you out of the office and shoot something.
Yeah.
You know. I'm here to create with you. You know that. I'm your creative guy with you.
Absolutely.
And it was nearly impossible.
Absolutely.
Because where the headspace was. And
it's not easy to create when you're in that headspace, dude.
Not.
When everything you do gets a back negative note for no reason whatsoever.
I know.
When you're just creating to create because that's what is within you and you want to share with others your excitement and you're providing them with entertainment, if you can call it that, or like some educational here and there, or just like forget about your day.
Yeah.
And they just come and say, fuck you for doing this. Mm-hmm. You kind of go like, okay, that's no problem.
Yeah.
I'm out. But then those motherfuckers would win.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's what I'm saying. So is that what I wanted? And at some point it got to that place and I don't remember exactly what was the thought process of I need to snap out of that. Like I need to open my doors. I need to go out there and just enjoy this fucking beautiful thing we call life.
Yeah.
And go get it all. And it's not about more money and it's not about more attention. It's just go get all of your goals in order, line them up and fucking get them done and put them out there for everyone to see how hard you can shine.
We all go through shit, man. And I believe it's weird. Like, you know, there's all these mythical creatures that we've seen and all the time. And I'm so super drawn to the Phoenix.
Yeah,
like my eldest son, his middle name is Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of why
my man.
That's part of why I have, you know, gave him that name is because I believe we all go through hard times. We all go through struggles. We all have shit that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's going to burn to the ground.
No doubt.
Sometimes it's going to feel like your world is just crumbling down, but you have to be able to rise up out of it.
There's no question about that.
You have to. And you went through that.
But what I was saying is
literally, mentally, and physically.
And physically.
Yeah, you went through all of that.
I know. And it was a dope process. It was at the time, whenever something happens to you that's negative, you shouldn't be out there making fucking rash decisions.
Yeah.
I've always said that. So I didn't make any bad decisions. I didn't make any good decisions. I just gave myself the time to heal. But during that process before that, I thought, I'm killing it. I got the numbers. I got the audience. Everything is growing. The offers keep getting bigger and bigger, even though I keep saying no to everything, right?
Yeah, you do. You do.
Everything keeps growing and escalating to a different level. Why am I not taking it? And one day I just ask myself that question. Why am I not taking it? Because I see all the shit that they sent me eventually drips down to other things, right? And then I see it online. It's like, oh, they went with that and that's what they did. And I was like, why am I not taking advantage of these opportunities? And I'm not talking about financially, but like the cool ones, the cool opportunities. That's what we're in for, right? That's what we want to do. We want to be able to show people something that they've never seen before.
Experiences, man.
Or that it's hard to share with others. Something that's a completely different, has a different flavor to everything mm-hmm. you're tasting out there. Everything yeah. is fucking stale and chewy, and everything is just generic.
Yeah.
I just wanted everyone to taste the salsa. You know what I mean? I wanted everyone to have like that spice. And just hiding behind those numbers didn't do me any good, because I felt, I mean, literally I could see I'm winning. And that's... Are you going to get that? No. Literally, I could see I'm winning. I'm physically winning right now. I'm seeing it. Like, there's my channel. This is that. This is growing. This has exploded. This has gone to that level. Mm-hmm. These things are coming. But then you start feeling an empty, empty void. And that was horrible. And I closed myself forever. And even Alex, Supercar Blondie, that also came in last week, we had a great time with her. We're doing a piece on her. And I think... Yep. It's going to open the doors to a bunch of stuff that we want to show people. We're looking at a car world with fresh eyes, and especially with everything that's happening on YouTube, with everything that's happening on social. We were able to step back and look at, like, there's some gaps in there that no one's covering. Mm-hmm. And now we're going back again and attacking those gaps like we did at the beginning.
Yep.
Right? And we're going for everything. And having Alex and Nick is Alex's husband, Supercar Blondie's husband, yep. was so refreshing. It was so... It made me feel alive again. And even in the podcast, even on the interview, she asked me, how come you, like, I've reached out to you for a year. What the fuck?
Am I not good enough for you?
What the fuck? Yeah. And it's the reality. I was just hiding, Alex. I was just hiding from you. I was hiding from everybody else. Because if my friends were willing, and forget about my audience, right? But yeah. my friends were willing to be like, fuck you. You already did all of this for us, but we don't see it that way. We made you, fuck you,
yeah.
and bury me. Then what the fuck are strangers going to do to me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that really just scarred me. But now opening my doors, opening my, just my life in general to everything that's happening and just doing new things, mm-hmm. like not being afraid and just going out there, getting out of your comfort zone. And like, we went and met Patricio Award.
Dude, what a cool guy, man.
19 years old. He won the Indy Lights last year. Now he's competing in Indy. He's destroying the game. He will be our dude. I hope he makes it to Formula One. I hope he's all incredible. Of his goals are achieved. This is one guy that refreshed me again, because I've met a lot of competitive sports people, mm-hmm. and most of them have to be cold. They need to be cold-blooded, and they need to be very methodical
yeah.
about how they go about their business. And Pato has such an aura and an energy and a presence, and he's so fucking funny and charming. And I don't know.
Here's how you know that he is excited about what he's doing. All weekend we were out there with him, and I was 100% shocked. I was floored by his presence, because he wasn't just sitting in his RV resting,
no.
kicking his feet up, getting ready for the race. Like, he was just happy, running around, smiling, hanging out with everyone. He was signing autographs, going and seeing people.
I was even telling you, I can't believe he's doing all of this. I would be in my trailer just focused. And he's just going because he's got the confidence and the swag to go yeah. about it. And that's what makes him so special. Yeah. And that head that he's got. I don't know if you guys watched the race, but in qualifiers and the way Indy works, and we'll get into that in the video and everything that we did. But the way Indy works is qualifiers go like this. You put 12 cars in one qualifier. Out of those 12 cars, they're going to get the best times. Then you put another 12 cars in the second qualifier. Then they're going to grab the fastest 6 guys out of those and put him in the fast 6. Anyone underneath that, they're just going to qualify with their time. Pato was on the last lap that he was pulling on red tires, which are the sticky tires that they use only for one lap, tops two if you're exaggerating, if the weather's like perfect and the conditions are given. He was putting a lap time that was going to land him on 3rd or 4th on the grid. And unfortunately, there was a red flag in front of him, which means someone crashed and they had to close that lap. So he didn't count. Pato qualified in 9th. And then the day of the race comes, and he goes with everything that he's got. And immediately opening, he's got some engine problems. He lost some power.
Yeah, he definitely did.
So on the straights, people were fucking coming in and took him all the way to 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And he persevered, and he stayed there, and he came all the way back to 12th. And then at the end, we noticed what happened, and then we talked to him.
Yep.
And after the race and everything that happened, which must be fucking soul-crushing when that happens to you, because as a driver, you're not in control of everything that's going on, I thought he would be mentally crushed. And he's like, yeah, we have some fucking car problems, man. But you know what? That's life. We did what we could. We fucking got four positions ahead. We could have done much better if the car didn't have any problems. But next week, we'll show everyone.
Yeah.
That is the mindset of a fucking winner.
Yeah, the dude's learning, man. He's learning and he's adapting to the entire sport. I loved it, man. I had a blast. That was my first IndyCar race to go to. I've been to NASCAR. I've watched a ton of F1, but as far as like IndyCar itself, like that was
brand new for us, right?
And it was amazing. It was amazing.
The car sound amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And now, did you notice they have less crew in their pits than Formula One does?
A lot less crew.
Yeah. Because they were doing like 7-8 seconds on their pit stops. Where F1, they're like
two seconds. I mean, yeah, we saw the double pit that Mercedes pulled in. Oh my God. Guys, with Hamilton and Bottas.
Yeah. So if you didn't see this past week in the Shanghai Grand Prix, Mercedes just dominated. I mean, they absolutely ran away with the show.
Since how long has it been since a team wins one and two on the first three races?
So I think they said it was since 1995 that the first three races of a season were won by the same two teams where they finished 1-2. Not two teams, the same team finished 1-2. Yeah, for the first three races. It's unbelievable. So what they did is they were leading like the whole race. They were leading the whole race, but they needed to finish up with some good tires. And instead of bringing one guy in at a time, they brought them both in at the same exact time, double stacked it, and without even stopping. Zoom, 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 zoom.
Zoom, 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 zoom. 2.2 per car.
Yes.
I saw the replay. It's on my Twitter, actually.
Yeah.
When they're pulling in and Bottas on the radio goes, guys, please don't slow me down. Please don't slow me down. And then you just hear him, and he just leaves. I was like,
it was unbelievable. Like the commentators, they were saying, why are they doing this? Like, this is so stupid. Yeah. Like, don't do it. Why mess it up? And
hey, that was a big dick play by Mercedes.
Oh, it was incredible. Incredible.
My God.
I really want to go. I want to go to an F1 race this year. Like, that's something I really do.
It's done. Like, consider it done. Like, and honestly, we're going to go with the Ferrari guys.
We should.
We are.
We might as well. Like,
we
Can
are.
I wear a sweater?
Absolutely.
I'm wearing a sweater.
You think in the F1 race in Austin, while we're at the Ferrari thing, I'm not going to be dressed up head to toe in Ferrari gear? You're fucking wrong, my friend.
The only problem, Ali, I don't have a pair of Gucci shoes.
We'll rent a couple. I don't have either. We'll rent some Gucci shoes.
Rod.
And we'll also get like a green pants. That's like the signature.
Okay, done.
We got to look like we literally belong at Carmel, but in a Ferrari event.
Oh, by the way,
I'm so excited.
We skipped right over this in IndyCar.
What?
The fact that the logo was on the side of Pato's car.
How cool was that?
That was amazing.
And everyone started coming up to me and was like, I didn't know that you were sponsoring teams in Indy. I was like, no, Pato's dope as fuck. And he put our logo there. It's not like...
No, you should have said, yeah, man, it was so expensive.
Dude, you have no idea.
Whoa.
You have no idea how much we paid on that. It was crazy to see that. Honestly, I didn't know that was a dream of mine until I saw it on the car. It made me feel like... Very warm.
It was cool, man.
It was so cool.
I just hope that didn't swipe him, and that's why he started pulling back.
Why are you even bringing that up, you fucking piece of shit?
Hey, man, we gotta start back over with how swipe came. That's important that we know that.
Not in this way. But by the way, we're definitely going to go to the GP in Mexico. There is no question.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go to that.
Yeah.
So I want to do F1. I'm going to do definitely more indie racing. I want to go to a motor GP race.
That would be
incredible.
But
I want to go in Italy. I bet those dudes are
Holy
fucking crazy.
Crap.
I bet
that
those
would
dudes
be insane.
Are crazy.
That would be insane.
I was watching Channing Tatum on his Facebook because he went to the Austin GP this weekend,
okay,
which Huka also went to.
Oh, that's where it was. I didn't know that was in Austin.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
So I was inviting Huka. I was like, you should come and do the Indy. And he's like, no, I'm going to the motor GP. I was like, okay, we'll see what's best. And then I saw Chan with the guy that won, like on the back of the bike, Channing Tatum on the back of the bike, just like slapping him the whole time when he won. And the other guy just, by the way, Channing is a fucking huge dude.
Yeah, he's a big
dude. He's a 6'4 motherfucker. And he was behind that dude on the bike, just slapping him with everything he had. And he still got him to pits.
God.
They seem so happy. I don't know. That image, that whole thing made me just really want to go. And I feel like I missed out. But I had so much fun with Pato too.
Oh, amazing
this weekend.
Time, dude. I mean, all the guys in the office, that's all they were talking about all day. Because, you know, the whole team went out and it was incredible.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
It was fun. It was really, 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 really a lot of fun. So that's what we wanted to talk to you guys anyways.
I think there's one thing that we just skipped over.
What?
And that's the fact that we were going to talk about a Bugatti and we haven't even talked about a Bugatti.
Oh, shit. Well,
so let's talk about a Bugatti,
for
yo.
For everyone that's on the website on Salamonium.com, that's a pro member, first of all, thank you very much. And second, I hope that you loved the Bugatti episode. The feedback has been insane. It makes me just so happy to begin with.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched it, I don't want to spoil anything, but what a car, dude.
Oh, hey. Dude, that was so much fun.
He's like a dragon. He's like a dragon with all the power in the world. I miss that. That's what I'm saying. I like going back to that, like driving cars that are dreams, like cars that you look up to that you're like, that only happens like, dude, it's that only happens in another reality. That doesn't happen to us. I'm all in to go back and do that.
So that's a special car. So can you explain a little bit about like, not what the episode is.
What about the car?
Well, I want you to explain kind of what this episode kicks off first.
Well, what it kicks off is season 4 of Salamandrin, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to have a couple of different shows and different formats, if you will.
And season 4, because this is the fourth year that we've been doing this.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and actually, if nobody knew. What happened to seasons 1, 2, and 3? You watched them, dude.
But like, I want to say season 3 would be the gas season.
Yeah.
Then season 2 would be RDB.
Mm-hmm.
And then season 1's from when I started till RDB.
Yeah.
That's what I would call that. Those were the way I look at the seasons. And in this one, we want to go back to season 1 combined with everything that we've done now and all new stuff.
Yes.
That's what we're going to be doing. So it's all back to hypercars, all the stuff that interests me. And especially because now I'm searching for my new car. Yep. I want to purchase whatever my next dream car is. I want something that will give me butterflies in the morning. Mm-hmm. I want to drive it, put it back in the garage, look at it and say, I can't fucking wait to drive you again. I just want to fall in love with whatever car I'm going to be driving. Like, honestly, I was with a Senna. That made me, now that I know that feeling, I know when I see that car, when I find that car, which I could have already with the Veyron.
Yep.
But I know the feeling. I know what it feels like to drive that car and go, okay, now, this is the one that's not going to let me sleep at night. This
dude,
is the one that's going to make me cry.
You were one happy dude, man. So we went to Evans. I didn't know how much I was going to actually give there. We went to Evans on Thursday, and I haven't seen this man this happy in a long time. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I guess a $3 million Bugatti will do that to anyone, no? It's not that hard.
No, you're right.
If you were driving a Bugatti, if we were all driving the Bugatti, wouldn't you be like,
after seeing how low that thing is, I don't want to.
I know.
That scares the crap out of me. It scares me.
It's so scary, especially knowing how much it costs to like fix anything that goes. The last service that car had, let's just put it out there, $140,000 on paper.
Oof.
$140,000. That's a service bill right there. But today I got a great call from my friend Mark, and he told me,
Marky Mark,
and he told me that the new Bugatti Veyron warranties, mate, actually only cost $60,000 if your car qualifies for 3 years. That means $20,000 each year with a set of tires.
Now, what are the qualifications? Do you know that?
Yeah, you need to have your car Bugatti service, never open in another place that's not a Bugatti dealer, and Bugatti has to approve you for that lifetime warranty. You know that Bugatti offers that lifetime warranty.
Yeah.
And they say, if you buy this car and really service it with us and never do anything that you're not supposed to, this car will last you forever.
Oh, my God.
Those cars are the ones that are,
mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. I mean, it's so much money, right? But $140,000 service.
So does.
I think it's gangster as fuck.
Does that car qualify?
I'm not gonna answer those questions here.
Okay,
How about that?
Sounds good.
But knowing that exists right now, it brings me a lot of peace of mind. But just know, anything can go wrong where a pebble hits a car in a radiator because it has, what, 8 radiators, I think, or 11?
I have no idea.
Crazy.
I have no idea. If somebody knows, those, please leave a note in the comments.
$80,000 to fix it for a friend of mine that had a rock in his radiator stuck.
Oh, my God.
$80,000.
No,
so shit
you.
Like that really scares me, but at the same time, YOLO, motherfuckers. So we'll see. I really enjoyed my time with Ed Bugatti. That was incredible.
So there's been some comments that are mentioning that you should try a Koenigsegg.
I will. I actually really will.
Does that tickle your pickle a little?
The new ones, yes. I'm going to tell you the truth about the older ones that never got my attention. I knew the gearbox wasn't the best. And I love that now that they came out with a new one, they're saying, yeah, we fixed the gearbox thing from the older ones that was very aggressive and snappy. Kind of felt like a Pagani-like one. And now the new one has, I think, 7 gearboxes, which is fucking insane.
Yeah.
Don't even ask me how that works because Christian's a fucking genius. I just want to drive that. I hear that he's going to be way smoother. The fact that they just bought that... what's Saab factory?
Yes.
So I can get into that and really produce these cars properly. I think Koenigsegg is going to have a great year when those cars start to roll out. Why? Because it's going to feel different from the cars that they have right now, which you don't really see much of them driving aside from like your normal. I want to see these cars out. I want to see them being enjoyed. I want to be on a canyon drive and then all of a sudden see a fucking
just like a monster.
I want to see that. Will it be a challenge? Absolutely, because of our past with Koenigsegg. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I'm going to go out there. There's plenty of friends that have them. I just don't know if it's going to be an old... I'll drive the older one, no question about it. But the attention for me will be on the new ones.
Christian, my sire, would you allow me?
Oh,
allow me to please drive
Christian,
your Koenigsegg.
Please. He's like, no.
No Koenigsegg for you.
No Koenigsegg for you, you piece of shit. So yeah, that's basically that. It's a 9-speed, 7-clutch transmission. Like, what? How does that even make it?
7 clutches.
That's insane. That's insane.
I can barely use 1 clutch. Now I got to use 7?
Imagine if you really had to punch 7 clutches in the car every time you were switching gears, if it's a manual one.
I would like to put the clutches on the steering wheel like you're just... Like you're trying to...
Like this?
Yeah, like you're playing...
No. It's the... What if he puts it underneath the car? No, hang on. What's happening right now?
I have no idea.
I also want to go to Croatia and drive a Rimac.
So that has been in the works for quite some time. That's one WhatsApp message away from happening. Well, one WhatsApp message away from initiating. And
the
then,
process. Hopefully
and
happening.
And, you know, we got to book some flies, hotels, get approval from Rodrigo.
Let's get that going, though, because I really want to go see Mate. I want to see his operation. I want to show the world, like, what the next step of that was. Because when we did that Banging Gears episode with him, no one gave a fuck about Mate. Remember when he came up to me and he's like, I'm the one who made the car. I was like, get the fuck out of here, kid. Where's your dad?
We talked about that the other day.
What the fuck?
Specifically, like, just kind of going back and wishing that we had, you know, packaged that whole Remac thing as just its own episode.
Yeah. But well, like, now we know best. But, now
well,
we know
the thing that is we had no idea, like, what we were going to get from that. Like, we would go and film a day, and then, holy crap, wow, this is actually going somewhere. Oh, you want to do a drag race with us? Sure.
Let's
like,
do it.
Set it up. So, like, started one episode evolving. Turned into 3.
Yeah.
Like that.
I wish we would have done what you're saying, that just one episode dedicated to them, because they not only deserve it, but people should have seen everything that we've seen that we understand at that point.
Oh,
but right now, what I want to do is take 2 of that and really take him through what that company has gone through, what Mate has gone through to get to where he is, and also see the car.
Yeah.
Because
I do
believe that Concept 2 is literally the new 918. It's going to be, it's a new Batista. It's going to be a lot of platforms. I am excited for that. Well, I am really excited.
Well, Pininfarina, they reached out as well, right?
Yeah, I think they're coming in May.
Yeah.
They're coming in May to LA for what the shit? I think they're having a show or something. So they'd like for some attention on their car, which,
well,
why not?
I hate to cut us off on this riveting topic right now, but we have to bring in a special guest right now.
Ivan.
We have to bring in Ivan.
Is Ivan even watching this?
I don't know if he's watching
this. How are we
going
to get Ivan here? Hang on.
Hold on. Let's see. Let me see if I can get Sergio.
This is going to be interesting. For Triple Sirius, Triplosaurus, does season 4 include tacos? Absolutely, my friend. No. It will include tacos, but we're the Taco Joint guys. We picked, again, we made 25 businesses. We aimed at making 25 businesses, and we only did 21. So
okay.
Tacos didn't
make it. Sorry. Okay, so by the way, guys, just want to let you know that Ivan just got a Tesla Model 3.
No, I think we should just break the news while he's here.
Okay. I was just going to give a warm little setup.
Okay. Okay. Set it up.
Wait right there, Ivan.
1 second, Ivan.
Okay. So really quick. So Ivan just got a Tesla Model 3 and he financed it and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know,
we just want to talk to him about that.
We'll talk about it right here.
Let's bring him in.
Ivan.
Ivan, come on in, sir. Come on in, sir. We'll have him sit right here.
Ivan, the sex appeal man. I can't believe we have Ivan in this podcast.
Just flip that switch on there for him.
Boom. Ivan, welcome.
Hey. Ivan, welcome.
I got a lot of work to do.
This is going to be quick. Don't worry about it.
And remember, talking to the mic.
Yeah. Sure, yes.
Hey, Ivan, thank you so much for your time. For everyone that's watching, Ivan is the dude that edits all of those fire edits for you in the English-speaking channel. And sometimes even in the Spanish-speaking channel. Yeah, with
Sergio's
some
being lazy.
But Ivan now just got himself. You upgraded from your GLA to your new Tesla Model 3.
Yes.
How do you... Hey, you just got it. It's beautiful. How do you feel about it? I know you've had it only for 2 days.
Yeah, 2 days. 2 days. I got a Saturday.
What do you feel? How does it feel?
It feels incredible. It's super fast. It's unreal. Like that. And at like high speeds too.
Oh, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter.
And it's strange because I feel more in control because that speed is immediate. It's right there when I want it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You feel immediate connection to what you're doing.
I feel like it's doing, like, when the GLA was great. I love that car. I got nothing real bad to say about it, but it was a four-cylinder turbo.
Yeah, it's a tiny four-cylinder engine.
So when you stepped on the gas, like, say I was making, like, a left turn and, like, I needed to go fast, it wasn't the most responsive, and it was kind of a bummer and a little scary. And this, I'm like, oh, I can make any turn at any moment.
You can make any pass at any point whatsoever.
Anytime.
How was the buying experience of it?
Good and bad, a little
say
bit.
It,
I liked,
it.
I mean, I did everything online, but
was it easy to deal with it online?
Yeah, everything's pretty simple, but they're sorting their stuff out. And, the main issue I had was, the financing. They'll handle it for you for the most part. And they basically just...
So you financed the car.
Yeah. So I bought the car.
Not leasing.
I bought the car, but I'm financing it. And they will finance it for you. And if they can't, they'll go to like several different banks. Like I got they went to Wells Fargo first. And I actually got a letter that was like, Wells Fargo's like, no.
What?
No.
And I am offended, Wells Fargo.
And
this man got a great credit.
I freaked out because...
Score.
Because I thought the car, I was like, fuck, am I not getting this car? And so I went to a Tesla store.
Couldn't you just lease it, though?
Yeah, I could have, but I was like, I ran into the miles thing with the GLA, and I was just like, I don't want to deal with this again. I'm just like, I can't do it. And it's an electric car. Like, I'm good to go for like 10 years, probably.
How many? So tell us about your spec. Which one did you go for, and what was like the little surprise at the end?
Oh, so I went with the cheapest possible thing.
He made it to the news today, basically. Google, Tesla announced, I was on my phone on the news, that they said only a few of these cars have been delivered to lucky owners, and you're one of them.
So, yeah, so when they announced the cheapest one that was available, Sergio was like, dude, this is the car for you. Like, you should get this thing. And I was like, I would get it if it's $35,000. Like, that's cheap. That's cheaper than what my GLA was. Like, that's a good, affordable
price. Crazy, right?
Yeah. So I went for the cheapest spec, like nothing, no autopilot, no nothing. I went with fabric seats, like no premium interior. And they were like 4 to 6 weeks. And because of the cheapest car they make, it was going to be the last in the lineup for them to make. And they never made it. And four to six weeks went by and they were like, hey, dude, we're going to give you one with a premium interior and leather seats.
So you got a free upgrade there.
Yeah, it was a major upgrade. It was like major deal. I think like $3,000 or $4,000. Yeah.
That's a new swipe.
It was.
That's
really,
right. The other way around.
Good for you, man.
It was a VIP experience.
That's what I'm saying. That's fucking awesome. So now, buddy, do you want to break this to Ivan?
Yeah, so we wanted to bring this up to you because the day that you received your car.
And we didn't want to ruin it to you. We were at the Grand Prix. You were very happy receiving your car.
Yeah. The day that you received your car, they announced a brand new, right off the shelf, leasing program.
Oh, yeah. I did sort of hear about this. Did you see it? Yeah. Why? Is it a good deal?
Well, leather comes standard. Autopilot comes standard.
Sure, fine. What's the price, though?
It's a lease, man.
It was roughly the same price as what you're paying now.
Whatever.
We just wanted to break those news here.
No, I really got to call it here. Fuck you guys.
Hey, but the good news is, if you did want to get the lease... you have 7 days to return your car.
Or
1,000 miles. But knowing your history, you've probably already put 1,000 miles on the car.
Yeah, probably. No, but I'll look into it. I'll check it out. I don't imagine I'd go for a lease. Just because I do. I drive the fuck out of my cars. Yeah. And like, I didn't realize how much I really do. So I'll probably hang with the buy. But I want to look into it. I'll do some research.
Why not? It's well worth the lookout. And I love that Elon and Tesla is doing that. That, hey, you drive it for 7 days. You don't like it. Send it back. Dude, here's your money back. How cool is that?
I love the car. Like, the car is fucking great to drive. It's so fun. So easy. It was like a little intimidating at first, but then like within 2 days of having it, I fucking love the thing.
And it's so good. Like, such a good looking car too.
Yeah, it is.
I really, really dig it.
In black. Like, the basic spec is phenomenal. I'm into it.
Good for you, Ivan. Hey, congratulations. We just wanted to give you that piece of information.
You know what this did? I had to spend my whole morning this morning setting up an electric power station for him here at the new office.
That's great.
Charges.
It's like 5 miles every hour. Thanks.
But we have a 50-watt charger back in the back that we don't have access to yet because there's a bunch of motorcycles blocking it. But once we move those...
We'll set you up there.
He'll be able to be fully charged in like 45 minutes.
It'll be ready for your Roadster.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll join you with the Roadster. Yeah, that's right, for sure. Yeah. Right now, I'm still thinking really hard about getting another Model X.
Do it, yeah. We need to haul stuff.
I like him so much. We need to what?
Haul stuff. We need something we can haul stuff in. That's the only downside to the Model 3 is like, I wish I had a hatchback, but I can't afford it. So no,
The Model Y would have been it, right?
Yeah, but that's 2021, right?
I'm sorry, Ivan, it is. It's a new design language.
So when your lease is over, you can get the Model Y. Oh, wait. Oh, my God. Later, Ivan.
Thank you, Ivan. Wow. You guys saw it first. You guys saw it live when we broke the news to Ivan.
That was an exclusive, as they call it in the industry. Let's hope Ivan doesn't cut it out.
Yeah, I know. No, but good for Ivan, man. No, that car is beautiful. And from the GLA, I remember him saying, I'm going to change to something else. I was like, what the fuck is he going to get? That was perfect for him.
There were some guys saying that they don't know why he just didn't go for the Infiniti QX30.
By the way, everyone, that's the actual GLA produced for Infiniti by Mercedes. That's insane. Yeah. That's insanity.
It's so funny.
Do you have anything else to add? I know it's going to be a short one, but
do you want to go through some of the comments on salamandra.com, see what we have here, see if any of these guys have anything interesting they want to chat about?
I am reading the comments right now. when you see Matt asking me if he's still pissed at Richard Hammond for wrecking his car, Jazzy, I was one of the first people to know that the car wrecked. Mm-hmm. I was one of the first people to see video that no one has ever seen from the car coming off the cliff. And I was one of the first people to reach out to Mate to ask him if he was okay, because I didn't know it was the Grand Tour filming.
Yeah.
And then he told me, no, it was Hammond and all that stuff, but I can't really say much. Don't say anything, please. So we kept it, we kept it quiet. He was heartbroken by the fact that the car was done, but I'm guessing he was happy at the same time from the attention that I came with. And also the fact that the Grand Tour had to bring him back and make like a special episode on that.
Yeah.
I mean, that really opened the doors. Again, with every negative, there's something positive that's
exactly
about to happen.
Right. It's always hindsight, right? You know, you don't know what's going to happen until you let it marinate for a minute. You give it a chance to, you know, for the dust to settle.
Did he crash a car that we saw? I can't remember now.
No,
right?
No.
Okay.
No, he didn't.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Didn't. That car is still in Florida. But I'm positive that they were really worried at first. They were worried how it was going to pan out. They were worried if things like, you know, the car, you know, couldn't handle it. There was a malfunction with that. They were worried about all of those things until they got to dive into it and see, oh, it wasn't, you know, necessarily a car problem. And then on top of that, the news of how well it protected, you know, Hammond after the crash, because that was an awful, awful thing.
It helped them like crazy that that car was so well built. Yeah. I mean, any other car would have collapsed and crashed and burnt and all that stuff. I mean, I know the car burnt later. But, dude, they were able to get him out of the car, no problem, all that good stuff, and he was fine.
But I talked to some guys over there at Remark. I'm not going to name names because I don't want to get anyone in trouble. Yeah. But they were really happy with how it all turned out.
Because, at the end,
Because in the end, it put them on the map.
And,
you know?
And Hammond was fine.
Yeah, it may seem like it was a bad way, but it was very, very positive. And for that to happen, and then all of these major auto manufacturers to continue to pour money into Remak and continue to buy their parts and to continue to validate their success, it shows you how amazing they're doing there. And I'm excited for them, dude. Like, this is such good news.
Hey, Matt is even younger than we are. Good for him. And he's really, really, really going to be in such a crazy-ass position in 5-10 years from now in this car world. I don't think anyone understands.
Yeah, here's the cool thing is what we were able to do with Mate. The fact that you on a drag strip were racing him like head-to-head, that will never happen again. I don't know if you guys realize that. That is something that you will never, ever see again.
The CEO of such a company would never, like, the liability behind that. Even myself, when I get in the car and I have so much shit that I need to finish, it's like, what am I doing?
They will not allow that risk to ever happen again from their company.
No.
And any company in particular, unless it's an up-and-coming one who, you know,
needs to do it.
Like, they have to, but that's not ever going to happen again.
No, that was legendary, dude. And, he's such a G for doing it, too. Because when we were like, we're going to do this, and he was like, let's fucking go.
He was, and you guys were going to do it on a backcountry road. Like, what the hell were we thinking?
We're still very proud that we didn't.
Oh, my God.
Still very proud.
I can't believe I was going to allow you guys to do that.
I know.
Unreal.
By the way, the hat, everyone that's asking, this is Pato's hat. So that's Pato's logo. This is the Mexican swipe. And that's Pato's number, like lucky number 31.
I missed the comment. I can't scroll back through it. But there was some guy that was asking for you to bring Street Speed 717 out here to repay the debt that he owes you for going out to his car.
It's harder to get Mike in LA than fucking winning the lottery.
Have you
ever seen him in LA?
No, he wears his Ray-Bans like he's been to LA several times, but I don't think he's ever been.
That's what I'm saying. I've never seen him here. I'd love to have Mike over, and especially having on a podcast. Do you see what happened to 720? I'm not going to say anything, but
No.
That he was smoking, he had an oil leak in the engine spraying, but they put it out immediately.
Oh.
Now, without getting into anything, I don't know if Mike touched the car or not, but I've seen a couple of titles before that said, you know, my 720 with 1,000 horsepower and whatnot. That's what terrifies me about modifying new cars. If I would have touched my Senna, the Senna insurance guys called Tommy. Tommy's so scared. They called Tommy and they were like, Tommy, they sent them legal paperwork. And they were like, you need to sign in here about what happened. And Tommy calls me and he's like, man, what should I do? What should I tell him? I'm like, here's what you're going to do, Tommy. You're going to tell them the truth, write it down, and then sign it. And he goes, okay, what's that? And I'm like, did you work on the car? And he goes, no. And I go, then write that down and sign it. He goes, And he goes, but why are they sending me these like legal notices? I'm like, because probably they want to cover their ass. Just so you understand the level of detailed attention that these car companies are going through to make sure that they can get an out of paying you paying the debt. But no. It's all good. I mean,
poor
come on.
Tommy.
He knows. I just feel bad that they're putting this pressure on them for that, you know? But it's all on camera either way.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, and where I want to go with that, is you modify the car a little bit, whether it's the engine, whether you put a wrap on it, because all they were looking for was a wrap, by the way. That's the only excuse they wanted.
That's all they wanted.
They said, if you put a fucking wrap on that thing, including a clear bra, whatever, done. We're not paying. No warranty. Thank you. Fuck you. Thank God we didn't have time to do that. So now I'm a little freaked out by that. I'm not going to lie. What does that mean? You lose your warranty for wrapping your car if the car burns because of its own self? It's crazy. And seeing what happened to Mike was insane. And I hope that everything's fine, the car is fixed, and that he's not going to have to put a lot of money down. for this. So, yeah.
Wow.
Well, Zerga, I just rewatched the video where you shit bricks when the Maserati 12C. I've never driven a car like the Maserati 12C, and now that I've seen more videos of people driving it, I understand. Cold tires, huge problem. It's like a Le Mans long enough car and all that stuff. But I don't know, for those of you who watched the Banging Gears episode 2, when we go to Geneva and drive the Zonda, the 12C, and the Koenigsegg, that 12C was so scary because it felt so normal. And by normal, it's like it felt like a race car. It was mechanical. It was raw. It was very visceral. And Gordon explained it better than everyone else on that video, by the way. And we're literally doing 20, 30 miles an hour. And Buddy just accelerated a little bit and goes like, come here so we can get a closer picture. I didn't floor it. I didn't do anything wild. I just progressively stepped a little bit on the gas and the car just wanted to go sideways. Thank God I caught it. But that was one of the scariest things because we were just leaving the dealership and 5 minutes into the drive, I almost totaled Greg's car.
Dude, that would have been, oh my God.
I mean, we had great insurance, but fuck me, no?
No, you don't want to ever have to deal with that.
No, and then you have to tell Greg, I'm sorry about your car, and then he's always going to be like, fuck you, you should have never driven it. I knew you were. So I'm glad nothing else happened, and I'm glad you guys enjoyed that. I almost shit myself. That day, absolutely. And do I want to drive an F1 car? I really do. After in the Indy race this weekend, they put me in the two-seater. I don't know if you guys have seen those Indy two-seaters. It's an Indy car, which looks like a Formula One car that's a little longer, and you can put another person on the back behind the driver. If anyone has experienced Formula One or Indy car racing, you understand what I'm talking about. But the G's that you pull in those cars, the braking, the stopping, the accelerating, the torque, and the way the gravity feels when you're going through a long sweeper and you just feel the car going and your body and your soul trying to leave your shit from like one side was life-changing. I came out of that and I was like, I need to do this every day now. Like, how can I get this feeling?
I kept questioning you the whole time leading up to it, and I felt bad because I honestly was worried how you were going to handle it because I wasn't quite sure like how far out of the issues with the Senna that
yeah
you were, you know, and I was like, are you okay? Like, is everything all right? Dude, like, I did. I mean, you told me, you were like, I think you're more worried about me than I am.
Than I am. Even Pato too was like, are you sure you're going to be okay? I was like, dude, I'm going to be perfectly fine. I'm over the fucking Senna thing. I'm good. Let's go.
Oh, man. Dude, I would have loved to experience that, dude. That thing was flying.
You know what? The back seat of it, it's so small. I saw some people that got in that car, and I don't understand how they did it. I was uncomfortable, and I'm a small dude.
Well, look, I thought that I wouldn't be able to fit in it, and then I saw some of the other guys that were in it, and I was like, you would totally fit in the car.
I could. But, it's tight quarters in there. Your knees, you're driving like this.
Oh, man.
That's how you ride, with your knees, like, on top of you. I can't imagine what it's like if like they hit a wall or something, but also you're so tightly fit in there that I'm guessing there's not a lot of room for movement and all of the carbon body is going to absorb the impact and the tires. But still, the feeling of it was insane. I want to do it more. I want to do it again. Immediately when I came out of that, I was like, I need to go racing. I don't know what the fuck, but I need to go race it.
I do want to do it.
And I'm a terrible race car driver.
I do want to do it again.
But God, that was so much fun. We will. Yeah. We will. We'll see Pat doing more races. We'll support him.
And we still have to do we still have some karting to do.
That's right.
I'm waiting on a phone call back, by the way, to get that whole thing
going.
So there's exciting stuff coming for season 4, by the way. A lot of exciting stuff.
Completely out of like what we normally do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think let's leave it at that. I'm exhausted. I want to go to sleep.
Yep. I actually have a T-ball game that starts in 5 minutes that I'm running late for.
Well, you're fucking crazy.
But I sent the lineup. They're all good. They'll be without coach for a little bit, but the kids will be fine. I promise.
Good luck to everyone. Hey, this was another Let's Talk About Cars, Yo! Episode. Thank you very much for everything, buddy. Thank you to Ivan that's not here anymore. And thank you to all of you guys for being around and for sticking around for all this time. And I promise you what's coming is going to be better than ever.
It's coming, man. It's coming. Winter is coming.
Yeah! See you guys later.